The following is a closed circuit advisory and not necessarily for broadcast. Just a brief reminder that time is running out for you or your club to nominate a deserving young radio amateur for our Bill Pasternak Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award. Nominations must arrive by midnight local time on June 30th of this year. That's just a couple of weeks. Full information and the nominating form can be found on our website, arnewsline.org, under the YHOTY tab. And please note, the California mailing address is no longer valid. The new address is in New York and is listed on the nominating form. If you've sent your nominating package to California, please resubmit it to the New York address. We hope to honor your amazing young radio amateur this August as we award the 30th anniversary edition of the Young Ham of the Year Award. Also, this is a special extended newscast and will contain 3 segments and 2 ID breaks. Thank you. Now, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO, with Newsline number 2015. Paul?
Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2015, with a release date of Friday, June 10th, 2016, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Ares volunteers are activated in Texas and Kentucky. A special lighthouse takes on a special mission. A Massachusetts ham club faces the loss of its home, and on the first anniversary of the passing of Newsline creator-producer Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, we offer a tribute from friends in this expanded edition of Amateur Radio Newsline, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
We begin this week's newscast with a somber reminder that one very vital aspect of amateur radio, the Amateur Radio Emergency Service, or ARES, springs into action most effectively in the aftermath of a tragedy or during a crisis. That was the case in Houston, Texas last week, as the region was besieged by deadly flooding. We hear more from Mike Askins, KE5CXP.
Unrelenting floods in Harris County, Texas, and much of the southeastern region of the state spurred the county's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Management to move to a level of increased readiness, Level 3, activating the Amateur Radio Emergency Service in South Texas District 14 for a short while on June 2nd. The section's emergency coordinator, Frank Aguilar, N5SSH, said that in spite of the fact that communications were not disrupted, ARES efforts were nonetheless needed to deal with what he called situational awareness issues in the weather-drenched region. Flooded streets posed a particular problem as the dangerous weather failed to let up. District 14 Emergency Coordinator Jeff Walter, KE5FGA, requested South Texas District 14 ARES volunteers to report through web EOC or lacking access to use repeaters. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5CXP.
There was also a tragedy in Kentucky's Hardin County, where ARES volunteers were activated on June 1st to assist in a different crisis, one involving a missing aircraft. 2 days after the single-engine plane was reported missing on May 30th, hams joined in emergency responders, law enforcement, the Red Cross, and Civil Air Patrol in their search. The aircraft was bound for home at Owensboro Airport in Kentucky at the time it went missing. On June 1st, the wreckage of the plane was spotted from a helicopter in a remote wooded area. The search team later recovered the body of the pilot, identified as retired physician Robert C. Dalzell of Owensboro. He was 70 years old. A recent activation of a small lighthouse on Canada's Prince Edward Island has become a shining example of how to promote goodwill and tourism, and even ham radio. We hear more from Amateur Radio Newsline's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Because lighthouses serve as navigational aids for travelers who often cross great distances, the Soros Lighthouse was a natural choice for Bernie Comier, VE9BGC, and his friend George Dewar, VY2GF, who activated the Prince Edward Island Lighthouse for 3 days during the first weekend in June. Thus, the small team of amateurs on Prince Edward Island became a true beacon themselves, using 15, 20, and 40 meters to draw attention to this small province in Atlantic Canada. Speaking recently with Amateur Radio Newsline, George said that despite challenging band conditions, the hams logged more than 100 contacts. Most were in the U.S., although QSOs with Croatia, France, and Germany found their way to the lighthouse. And then there was that one ham in Melbourne, Australia, who they worked with their 100 watts and Bernese vertical on 20 meters. The hams also attracted the attention off the air from foreign tourists visiting the lighthouse who got to see some radio magic happen. But operating as VY2PLH was more than just a means of identification, George said. It was the very conversation starter they'd hoped for, as one station or another would ask, VY2, where is that? Being able to call attention to Prince Edward Island, an agricultural region known more for its potatoes and its mussels, was a good thing, he said. Connected to the rest of Canada by ferries and a single bridge, Prince Edward Island just gained another navigational route via the ionosphere. Or as George says, quote, we are getting the place a little better known around the world. Hey, you never can tell. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Although members of the Queen Anne's Amateur Radio Club, K3QAC, on Maryland's Eastern Shore, will also be participating in Field Day on Saturday, June 25th, some hams are doing double duty by starting early in the morning to ensure the safety of as many as 400 bicyclists in the Two Rivers bike ride. The fifth annual ride is a benefit for the Y River Upper School, which serves students with learning disabilities, and the Corsica River Conservancy, a nature preservation group. The scenic ride begins in Centerville, Maryland, with courses ranging from 15 to 100 miles. The hams will be working net control, keeping in contact with radio operators at 7 rest stops. There will also be hams on roving vehicles that provide aid to cyclists in need. For more information about the benefit bike ride, visit yriveruperschool.org. That's Y, spelled W-Y-E, riveruperschool.org. K2BSA is on the air again, working three portable stations in three different states. Boy Scouts continue to call CQ in the name of scouting. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Bill Stearns, NE4RD, with this week's report.
This week in Radio Scouting, we have three scout camps on the air in Missouri, Ohio, and New Mexico. William Coverdell, WD0BC, will be the control operator for the Portable Zero station at Camp Geiger in St. Joseph, Missouri. William will have the camp on the air on HF Voice Wednesdays through Fridays from 1500 to 1700 Zulu time, beginning June 15th and continuing through the summer until July 23rd. John Bador, KC8KI, will be the control operator for the Portable 8 station at Camp Wyandotte at Firelands Reservation in Wakeman, Ohio. John will have his Radio Merit Badge participants on the air on Wednesdays beginning June 15th and running through July 21st. And we continue to have Dale Finley, KB5NFT, the control operator for the Portable 5 station at the Philmont Scout Camp in Cimarron, New Mexico, running throughout the summer. Please help support this activity and others involving youth and amateur radio by working and spotting them on the air and online. For more information on K2BSA and radio scouting, please visit www.k2bsa.net. For Amateur Radio Newsline and the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, this is Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
The Boston Amateur Radio Club is looking for volunteer radio operators to help at the Boston Athletic Association's 10K on Sunday, June 26th. Hams who want to provide support for the event should plan to be available on that day from 6 a.m. to noon and will need to bring a handheld dual-band radio. One with a gain antenna would be helpful. Returning volunteers and newcomers can both sign up now and should visit the 10K site at baa.org, navigate to the volunteer page, and select the button reading Volunteer Now. Then just follow the instructions and complete the application. If you have questions about the process, contact Brett Smith, AB1RL, the Ham Club's Public Service Coordinator, at AB1RL@brettcsmith.org. That's Brett with two T's, csmith.org. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W0CRA repeater system in Denver, Boulder, and Colorado Springs on Sundays at 9 a.m. local time. Every ham knows that finding a new radio-friendly house and moving is no fun. But it's even less fun when you're an 83-year-old club with a full station, antennas, and other gear, and you only have a few months to do so. The Framingham, Massachusetts Amateur Radio Association is facing just that right now. I spoke with Club Director Sumner, W1VIV, about their situation and what they're looking for.
We are a very old club. We have been here in Framingham, Massachusetts since 1933.
We have an actual video of a 1933 club meeting where they're all wearing suits and ties and things like that. We have been in this facility for about 38 years, and we want to remain a club in Framingham, Massachusetts. We've always been in this town, and we need to find a new facility, hopefully something cost-free as we've had now with this government facility. We need to find something before we're forced to move out of our present facility, which is the basement of a town-owned museum, and we have to move out in early September. So we're looking for a place with an operating station where we can put up an antenna and we can have some radios and things like that where people can come in every week and operate. It should have some kind of a classroom. We give VE tests, so we need some sort of a classroom and meeting space for board meetings and VE tests and things like that.
The problem they're facing is that the old civic building that they're in needs costly heating system repairs to the tune of $1 million, and the town is not willing to spend the money. So the club and the other tenants of the building all have to find a new home. If you'd like more information or would like to help them find a suitable new home, please visit their website at www.w1fy.org. That's www.w1fy.org. We here at Amateur Radio Newsline wish them luck in their search. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO. Just months after their first organizational meeting in January, a group of ambitious DXers in Ireland is already preparing to jump into an international championship in radio sport. Here's more from Amateur Radio Newsline's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
It didn't take long for a very new group of DXers in Ireland to decide they could take on the world. Just this past January, the amateurs held an organising meeting in the Maldron Hotel in Portlaoise, and that was the genesis of the new EIDX group. And now the newly minted collective of contestants is preparing to work as many international amateur radio union stations as they can during the IARU HF World Championship on the 9th and 10th of July. The amateurs will be using the call sign EI0HQ, which is held by the Irish Radio Transmitters Society. Their plans, according to the IRTS website, include creation of a comprehensive multi-multi station at Garbally College in Ballinasloe. The global contest will take place on six bands between 160 and 10 metres in both SSB and CW. When the DX group first assembled and organised, its stated objectives were to be part of all possible DX activities, from chasing DXCC to DXpeditioning. At the time, there was no mention of world domination. Of course, winning a contest is all in good sport, and the group does hope for a respectable showing next month. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH in Nottingham.
And now for the world of DX. Dave, GM0LVI, is working between June 17th and July 6th as SV8/GM0LVI/P from Zakynthos Island. He will operate holiday style using 10 watts. QSL via GM0LVI, direct or by the Bureau. He is not accepting Logbook of the World. Hans, DK3PZ, will be on the air from June 11th to June 18th as LA/DK3PZ from Renisoi Island. He will be working the band's holiday style. Send QSLs via his home call sign, direct or by the Bureau. Mike, DG5LAC, is active on single sideband through June 18th as EA8/DG5LAC. From Fuerteventura Island, find him on 40 through 10 meters. Send QSLs via his home call sign, direct by the Bureau, Logbook of the World, or EQSL. Members of a South Korean amateur radio club will use the call sign 6M6M from Jeju Island between June 23rd and June 26th. Find the club on 6 meters only using CW, single sideband, FM, and the digital modes. QSL via HL2 UVH. Are they alive or have they disbanded? Amateur Radio Newsline's Graham Kemp, VK4BB, has this report on the mystery behind the disappearance and the reappearance of the Belize Amateur Radio Club.
Where on earth is the Belize Amateur Radio Club? Well, if you know your geography, you might answer Central America, or if an old-timer, British Honduras. But if you ask the International Amateur Radio Union, you'd be told it's nowhere. It's gone missing for the last 23 years. In fact, that's what the IARU formally stated in a late May news release, reporting that a long-time lack of IARU activity from the club could only be interpreted as its death knell. But visit the website at barc.bz and you'll find a different story. A statement there, along with a link to the club's Facebook page, states that the Belize group is far from dead. In fact, a news item posted on the site May 21 reports the club was recently certified as an NGO, a non-governmental organisation. So what's happening? By all reports, it seems the club has been resurrected. A June 2 posting on its Facebook page declares, quote, "We are the new BARC. There was an old BARC that ceased to exist some time ago." The statement goes on to say that the new club has actually submitted a formal application to represent Belize with IARU in Region 2, and that, it turns out, is just what the IARU is looking for. Meanwhile, the club seems very full of activity and life. A May 29 posting on its Facebook page even shares an announcement of a meeting members held last April, and photos of the group's field trips in May, including one to the village at Blackmonetti. It seems that in Belize, where there's life, there's hope, and ham radio. Believe me. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Time once again for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W9EAR repeater in Vincennes, Indiana, on Monday nights. In the final segment of this expanded news report, we take the time to remember Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. To many, he was a friend, a mentor, a fellow ham, a brother, and a founding father of Amateur Radio Newsline and its Young Ham of the Year Award. He is a silent key whose influence on the amateur world will never be silenced. We hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, and others who were lucky enough to share his world. As we mark 1 year since his passing. Here's Don.
Milestone, a noun. A stone functioning as a milepost, a significant event or stage in the life, progress, development, or the like of a person, nation, etc. We're marking a milestone. On Saturday, June 11th, 2016, we mark the first anniversary of the passing of Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. This is significant because it was Bill who brought us all together. Nearly 40 years ago, he was one of the creators of the Westlink Report. That morphed into Amateur Radio Newsline. Amateur Radio Newsline created the Young Ham of the Year Award. But Bill was so much more than Westlink, Newsline, and the Young Ham of the Year. I could go on and on about Bill and the impact he had on my life, but I only knew him for a couple of decades. Let's go farther back and hear from some folks who knew him way before then. In 1986, Bill had the idea to honor young radio amateurs, the Young Ham of the Year Award, now named after Bill. He got on the phone and called up a few people to see if they were interested in helping sponsor the award. One of those was CQ Publications. Rich Moseson, W2VU, is the editor of CQ Magazine.
I can't remember a single specific highlight of my relationship with Bill, which went on over 30 years. What stands out to me the most are two things. One is how he's a perfect example of how ham radio can enable you to shine in ways that other parts of your life may not. Professionally, yes, he worked in television in Hollywood, but he was a videotape editor and maintenance person. He kept their equipment running. It's not a high-profile position. But ham radio allowed him to shine as the producer of Newsline, as a producer of videos, and as the founder of the Young Ham of the Year Award. And he passed that along to other people as well. He gave me my first opportunity to do television field producing, to meet Senator John Glenn, and I don't remember what else. The other thing that stands out in my mind is with the Young Ham of the Year Award, how his total devotion was to the kids. Every year, he would sponsor the dinner, and he would give the kid who won the award the option of where to go. I suppose we could have gone to some fancy restaurant someplace, but we usually ended up at either a barbecue place, or I remember 1 year, we all went to Five Guys and got hamburgers and fries, because that's what the kid wanted. And that said so much to me about Bill and his dedication to promoting youth and ham radio and just his whole way of life and of being. And those are things that I'll always remember about him.
Thanks, Rich. Rich shared the stage with Bill and the Young Ham Award winner for many years. Another sponsor from day one is Yaesu. Now with Ham Radio Outlet, Chip Margelli, K7JA, then with Yaesu, also shared that stage for decades.
Well, this is Chip Margelli, K7JA, and my remembrances of Bill Pasternak are that he was every day, every minute of every day, trying to promote amateur radio, trying to bring amateur radio to young people, trying to bring amateur radio to people who didn't know the difference between a megacycle and a motorcycle, and he was tireless in his efforts. He also was tireless in his efforts to improve the knowledge base. All these videos that Bill and Dave Bell and others were so deeply involved in weren't just to try to recruit new hams. They were trying to improve the knowledge base among existing hams. And that's the thing that I remember the most about Bill. He is always trying to make new hams out of no hams and to make better hams out of current hams. And to his last day, he was going after that goal of bringing more people the joy of amateur radio.
Thanks, Chip. Have you noticed a trend here? Education. Youth. That's not by accident. A more recent addition to the Newsline fold is Mark Abramovich, NT3V.
How does one reflect on the loss of a good friend and fellow ham, a man whose life was devoted to family and amateur radio? That's right. Family was always first for Bill Pasternak, and I guess I became part of that extended family after my son Josh, then KB3GWY, was selected to become the Young Ham of the Year by Amateur Radio Newsline. I listened to Newsline, and its predecessor, the Westlink Report, carried on a local repeater for years here in my eastern Pennsylvania community. Little did I realize I would one day become a contributor. But it went beyond that as Bill asked me to shepherd the Young Ham of the Year Award after its longtime leader bowed out. As I said, ham radio aside, Bill Pasternak was always the guy who put family first, his family and my family. His emails and phone calls at all hours of the day and night, weekends too, were always welcome. And they always began with, "How's the family, Mark?" Yes, there was business to transact, but it was genuine concern for family that was first. To tell you the truth, I've missed those calls, and I've come to miss a man who was like a second father, an uncle, and a very, very dear friend. He may be gone, but his legacy will live on not just in Newsline and its work serving the amateur community, but in my heart and the hearts of many he touched with his genuine love of his family, all of us.
Thanks, Mark. This just scratches the surface of the kind of man, the kind of ham, that was Bill Pasternak. He was the kind of guy that you didn't have the heart to say no to. That's how he brought in the dozens of broadcast professionals into the all-volunteer team that made up, and continues to make up, Amateur Radio Newsline and the Young Ham of the Year Award. So as we mark this milestone on the path of life, we pause to reflect, remember, and honor the man who brought us all together, the Newsline staff, those in the Young Ham of the Year Committee, the 30 years of young hams who have been honored, their families, and you, the listeners and supporters of Amateur Radio Newsline. Without Bill, and without you and all the others over the nearly four decades, none of this would matter. So thank you, Bill. Thank you for everything. We are all better people just for knowing you. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
I would like to add my own thanks to Mr. Pasternak for creating Amateur Radio Newsline. I never had the chance to meet Bill, but I began listening when it was the Westlink Report on the Marissa, Illinois Amateur Radio Club repeater when I was a teenager. And now, thanks to his passion and persistence, and to the efforts of the current team to carry on, I am honored to actually be part of this wonderful organization. With thanks to Allen Labs, the ARRL, Boston Amateur Radio Club, the CBC, CQ Magazine, Facebook, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the IARU, Irish Radio Transmitter Society, K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, My Eastern Shore Maryland, the Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO radio show, WANE-TV, WBKO-TV, the Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website located at www.arnewsline.org. And we remind you once again of the June 30th deadline to nominate candidates for the Bill Pasternak Young Ham of the Year Award. Please visit our website at arnewsline.org and click on the tab that says YHOTY for information and an application. Remember to mail your applications to the New York address printed on the application. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, K2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and the news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO, in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2016. All rights reserved.